SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Good morning, South Australia. How are we this morning, Soda? How's your back this morning, old man? You were hobbling around yesterday.
Rebecca Morse. Well, I have woken up badly yesterday, of course, after I tried to go for a run, and I was listing to one side, and it essentially means that just one side flared up, and then all the muscles lost.
Short version, please.
And I was walking around like the elephant man with a tilted spine for the entire day. And then yesterday, when I was reading the news last night, in between each story, because, you know, when you present it, I had to then sit down and bend over, and then they'd sort of go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, end of the story. They had to stand up again. Every time I went to stand up, and then I think I actually watched it back, and I was tilting to one side, and I reckon if I had kept going for about another 5 minutes, I would have just about fallen over.
Do you have a shower chair as well?
I don't, but I must admit that last night I did sit down on the shower floor.
At one point I was lying
on my stomach, letting the hot water just fall onto my back, going, please release the tension, please release it.
That's good.
I don't understand it. My husband, similar age to you, is training for another marathon.
Good on him.
Yesterday, he goes, I'm just going for a run. He said, I'll be back in 3 hours.
Good on him.
He left at 3. He got home at 6 and he ran 27 Ks before dinner. And I just said, why?
Who needs to play golf to take up time when you can do that? Because it's good for him.
No, you know why? Because he wanted to get away from me for 3 hours.
3 hours.
I'm just going for a run. I'll see you in 3 hours.
You should have been able to meet him on the route and drop off little drinks for him and be his support
team. Here are your gels, honey. I don't think so.
Wow.
Have we met?
That's a big effort.
Training for a marathon where you run like 42. I don't understand marathons. I don't understand it.
It's just about exercising. It's about the strength of your mind. It gives you a wonderful opportunity to fight against those demons that say, just stop. Yeah. But then when you get to the end, you get that wonderful sense of achievement.
I can't even run the City Bay. I've never run more than 5Ks.
Well, that's nothing to be proud of. Get out there and have a crack.
Said you! To shower.
Yeah, all right.
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Something terrible happened on the drive into work this morning. I'm driving down Sir Donald Bradman Drive just past the airport. It's very dark. And there's a thud on my front wheel.
I didn't see
anything on the road. And I'm quite diligent in the morning, watching very closely. I look in my rearview mirror to see what I've hit. And all I can see is a massive cloud of feathers.
Oh, no.
It was a decent thud. I can only suspect that it was a duck.
Is there some wetlands around that area?
Yeah, on the left there's sort of some wetland area. And I, as you know, I'm a real animal rights activist. I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah.
I try to do little...
You've actually taken a duck
out. I'm even driving an electric car to try and minimise impact on the environment, and I think the electric car was so quiet that the duck never had a chance. The duck couldn't hear me coming. And now in my head, it's a mother duck, and there's a few little
orphans,
ducklings in the wetlands. They're waiting for mum to come home.
Still waiting for mum to bring the food back.
Yeah. Where's mum?
Where's mum?
Yep.
Where's mum? I mean, there's a dad. There's a dad who's now a single parent.
Got to raise him all himself.
Yeah.
Also, no big electric car has killed mum on the way to work.
He'll do a good job, though. Dad will.
I mean, dads can parent too, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Of course they can.
But is the duck society as advanced as the human society? Is the daddy duck ready?
He's ready to take them on.
Is he ready?
You've caused absolute pain for them.
But I didn't have time to turn around, and what if I've left her maimed? What if the duck's still alive and, like, sort of limping back right now to the wetlands just trying to make it?
What time did that happen?
It happened like 10 to 5.
Oh, okay.
Nah, it wouldn't survive by now.
Yeah,
it'd be 25 past 6.
Yeah.
I wish I should have stopped and I didn't want to be late for the meeting this morning.
You should have rendered assistance.
I did a hit run on a duck. I hate myself. I teared up. When I looked up and I saw the feathers, I actually started crying in the car. What I'd done. I won't even eat Peking duck in a Chinese restaurant, and then I left this duck on the side of the road. I'm so sorry to the duck community. Stop playing that noise! The duck community. of the Adelaide Wetlands. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I've done.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know.
Don't go walking near the torrents because they talk with each other.
Do you think the ducks will know?
Yeah, ducks will know.
There'll be a red mark on the back of my head. I've been targeted by ducks now. I'm so sorry. Maybe it was just a little, you know, sometimes you might give a little bird a little nudge and you see it fly off and you're like, it's okay. Maybe it's okay.
Oh, there's no chance. If you hit the thud that hard, it's all done and dusted.
I'm so sorry.
Those ducklings are an orphan.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
The Reserve Bank meets today. Everyone's fingers and toes are crossed that they keep interest rates on hold because they have been nasty as the cost of living rises. It has led to a list being made on the socials of the signs that people are wealthy. And we're not talking about the car they drive or the house they live in, like the low-key little signs.
Yeah, yeah, the little subtle ones.
Yeah.
Like you talked about before, the Frank Green drink bottle.
The Frank Green drink
now,
bottle.
Now, if you're not sure what we're talking about, they're those metal drink bottles that you see a lot of young girls getting around in. I watched the school netball on the weekend and they have the little drinks containers.
Yeah.
And there are about four Frank Green little drink bottles in there.
The big ones are up to $100 and then chances are that they will lose them. Things like if you go to someone's house and they have a butler's pantry, if you don't mind.
Of course.
Sticking in the kitchen, another low-key sign is you've got your cutlery drawer instead of your little basket.
Oh, in your dishwasher.
In your dishwasher, yes.
What about the fridge has the ice dispenser?
Oh, things are going well.
Absolutely.
I always look to see whether people have a matching kettle and toaster to see if they've got cash.
Not just the stainless ones. Oh. They might have the coloured ones. You know, like the red or the yellow.
Yes.
The Smeg ones.
The Smeg.
That screams. That screams that I've got money, doesn't it?
Also, when you eat out with someone and they have brunch and they order all of the sides with the eggs.
Oh, the broccolini.
Because I always usually try and just limit myself to two sides. Mm. But you're like, oh, okay, things are going well there. You've got a hash brown and spinach and sautéed mushrooms and tomatoes and goat's cheese.
And the cipollini sausage.
Isn't it a cipollata?
Cipollata, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Cipollini. Oh, no, that was the kid I went to school with.
Yeah.
I went to school with Stephen Cipollini.
Good old Stephen.
Not Stephen Cipollata.
You're listening to SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Oh, my gosh. Look at these trending topics.
Well, Leonardo DiCaprio is playing true to form with his latest suspected girlfriend, model Megan Roche.
How old?
22.
What's he got a 25 rule, isn't it?
Yeah, he has broken up with all of his girlfriends when they hit 25. He is now 48.
That's okay, isn't it?
Not really. I think he's pushing 50. He's getting to daddy level.
Well,
I think maybe he could at least move into the 30 decades.
He wants to ensure that none of his new partners or dates have seen Titanic because that's 25 years old since that was released in 1997.
He doesn't want to answer any of those tricky questions about why Rose didn't let him fit on that floating bit of debris.
No one would know what Titanic is of those younger girls.
No, they certainly wouldn't. And Leo's dating proclivities have made him the butt of many a joke. One of my favourites from Ricky Gervais.
Once upon a time in Hollywood, nearly 3 hours long, Leonardo DiCaprio attended the premiere, and by the end, his date was too old for him. So...
And Amy Schumer.
And I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio, what can I even say about him? He's done so much to fight climate change and leave behind a cleaner, greener planet for his girlfriends.
They stitch him up.
I love it.
So, I mean, clearly he's aware of it. So is he doing it deliberately now? Is he checking their driver's license before he has a date with them?
He wouldn't care at all. Yeah. He'd be probably enjoying the jokes and enjoying the younger women in his life, no doubt.
Well, I'm sure he's enjoying that plump, collagen-filled skin on his body. Okay, let's segue to it.
How do you know it's filled with collagen? Why are you assuming that they have some sort of
cosmetic
surgery?
Collagen is naturally occurring. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
When you're 22, it's natural.
When
you get in your 40s, it's not.
You start injecting it.
Yeah, right. Theirs is probably all fresh and new.
Right.
sounded a bit bitter, don't I?
Oh, Only a little bit.
Really fixated on the youth. Kanye is making headlines, stepping out with his new wife, Bianca Censori, who's actually a Melbourne girl.
Yep.
They were on their way to church and their wardrobe has really set tongues wagging. He is wearing leggings. Male leggings, I'll call them meggings, a sort of padded T-shirt with police written in German, but it's Bianca's wardrobe that's causing the most stir. How would you describe what she's wearing?
She sort of looks like she's in some sort of black body stocking thing, but around the neck, it actually looks like she's a dog that's been to the vet and has had stitches and she's not allowed to bite herself. It's
she's
like that
the
big collar.
The cone of shame.
Yeah, the cone, yeah.
I'm not quite sure what is going on with either of those. And Kanye actually looks like he's wearing diving booties.
He does.
It's an unusual look for church.
She's got a black stocking over her head. The article in the paper describes it as looking like she's a condom in a coffee cup. It is very, very unusual. I don't know whether they're trying to be anonymous. His face isn't covered.
You can't be anonymous when you're dressed like that because everyone's looking at them and it's on page 5 of the paper. And the fact that he's quite a big boy, but he's got padded, almost like gridiron pads under his T-shirt.
What?
Well, look, if she had a fall face first, she would be very well protected by this big padded collar. So thank you to Kanye and Leo for keeping us amused this morning.
Well, certainly if she had to get stitches from that fall, she wouldn't be able to bite at them with that collar around her.
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Kickstart for Kids, wonderful charity headlined by Ian Steele that provides breakfast for kids in needs. And Beck, of course, we partnered with Kickstart to raise some money with our Easter hot cross buns and help get a new refrigerated van recently.
Yeah, so thank you to everyone who bought those buns. We were able to buy them a new van for the work they do.
Russell Crowe, Gladiator himself, even jumped in with $5,000 too.
Yeah, well, we have led the way in fundraising for Kickstart for Kids. Now, the government's even jumped on board. We've got Education Minister Blair Boyer and Kickstart for Kids founder Ian Steele in the studio with us this morning. A huge funding announcement for Kickstart yesterday, Minister.
It was, and it felt really good, I've got to say. And it was fantastic to have Ian there. Every now and then you get to do those things in government, which you know are just the right things to do.
Don't you do the right things all the time?
Of course we do. Of course we do. That's a very good point. But, you know, that's right. Let me backtrack there. But, you know, often we get caught up in responding to negative stuff. Yes. And we have days which aren't great days. But, you know, when you get a day like the one yesterday with Ian and the team from Food Bank and the kids there at Clovelly Park Primary School, it makes all the other stuff really worthwhile. That reminds you why you're in the job, I think, for all of us. So it was just it just felt fantastic. I'm glad we could support Kickstart to do more of their work.
Essentially, $6.5 million boost. What's this going to do?
So the long and short of it is currently we give money to Kickstart and Food Bank and it equates to, I think, about 400,000 breakfasts for kids across the four-year period that we fund it. We've upped that funding so it will be 1.4 million breakfasts across the four-year period. So an increase of a million breakfasts. It'll mean that schools that currently offer a breakfast program, whether it's through Ian and Kickstart or another organisation, or whether they go it alone, we'll be able to increase the number of days they do it. Some might only offer it 2 days and want to offer it five. There's about 150 schools that don't have a breakfast program, many of which I think would like to. That money will help them start one up.
Ian, your response, you must be so happy.
Yeah, absolutely. We are ecstatic. As Blair said, it means that, you know, no primary age child will start the first lesson with a hungry tummy. So it's wonderful. We'll be able to go out to more schools. You know, we've been having to knock back schools back every week, just saying, you know, we're too busy. We you know, try next term, try next year. You know, we've had to say to schools, you know, we can't support you in a five-day breakfast program. We can only do it for two or three, as Blair said. So, look, it's just wonderful. And it means that, you know, we spend, you know, like $3,000 a month just buying butter, for instance. You know, $4,000 a month buying jam. $1,000 a week buying bread. So it means that we can offer more product to the kids. You know, like one jar of jam doesn't cut it at a school like Clovelly Park Primary when they've got 350 kids going through the breakfast program during the week. So, look, it's just wonderful. And you know, as you know, I've been banging on about it for 15 years and it's wonderful that...
I know, you're like, oh, welcome. Welcome to the party, guys.
Yeah, it was just wonderful.
That's
that
a
they,
fair
that,
comment,
that,
though, because you know, the credit belongs with Ian, you know, who has knocked the door down and we've now come and committed to, but you know, these are the people who should be celebrating.
And as Blair knows, it's all about positive educational outcomes, and you know, we feed these kids and they will get positive educational outcomes. So
it's 100% correct. Exactly, yeah. Right. And I think the good thing about it too is, you know, you offer it more broadly and it destigmatizes the breakfast as well. It doesn't become a thing where the poor kids are there having breakfast and we're not. It's everyone does
everyone
it. It's equal.
That's right.
Does more schools mean you need more volunteers as well, Ian?
Of course, yes. Many more volunteers to work those extra days in the breakfast programs. Beck, that'd be wonderful.
All right. Well, if you can help, do get in contact with Kickstart for Kids because they need as many volunteers as they can get.
Yeah, it's a wonderful initiative. Congratulations, Minister Blair Boyer, and also Ian Steele with your wonderful work for Kickstart. Great stuff, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Ring Decoder, help us interpret the weird stuff we've been dreaming.
All right, we've got our dream expert, Jane Teresa Anderson, on for another recurring dream that Soda is having.
Oh, God.
Your brain is an interesting one. Soda, what's the latest recurring dream to unpack?
This one has been going on for a long, long, long time. Now, I keep having this dream, Beck, because the one goal I had in my life was to try and play AFL football. So one thing I wanted to do. So no matter what else I've achieved at any point in my life seems to pale into insignificance because I never got to play AFL footy, got sacked by Fitzroy, was at the Crows, and they said, you know, good mate, off you go back to the Sandful. So I've sort of always feel like I've had this unfinished business, but I keep having this recurring dream every few months that I'm getting drafted. No, it's horrible.
Oh, I feel like that's little Soda trying to live out his dream through Big Soda's brain.
Oh, it is so horrible because I actually wake up, you know, some of them are so vivid. When I wake up, I go, oh no, it didn't happen. I'm even thinking at my age, I could be the oldest rookie in the history of AFL football. Clearly it's never going to happen. And it was never going to happen in the first place because I was nowhere near good enough. But it just keeps coming back and back and back.
So clearly you haven't had closure, Jane. What do you make of this?
Yeah, you're totally right, Beck. Haven't had closure. As always, our dreams are about something else, not about what they appear to be about. So when you think about all the emotions and feelings you had as a younger person when you didn't get drafted or when you got chucked out or whatever it was, whenever you have a similar feeling in life now or you worry about that, or maybe they'll chuck me out, maybe I'll not be good enough, it can come up with that dream. But the wonderful thing about your dream is that you do get the job, you do get drafted. So it's like there's a part of yourself as you sleep that says, come on, Soda, you can do this. You're good enough for this. Of course you'll get this. Not AFL, something else in your life, urging you on. You can do this, you know. You've got it.
Right.
Does that make you feel any better?
Not really. You know, sometimes, Jane, the dreams are so, so vivid that when you wake up, that disappointment, because it felt so real at the time.
Yeah, that's the thing. So if you can go around during the day and actually replay in your mind that elation, that feeling of being drafted, just randomly during the day, and what it will do is it will actually bring that part of yourself more to the fore, bring that part of yourself more to the fore that thinks, I can do things that I sometimes think that I can't.
Okay.
Any other dreams you're having that you don't want to wake up from?
I'll tell you one thing, though. If I start embracing that idea of taking that feeling, I might go and buy myself a Port Adelaide jumper or a Crows jumper, just rock up the footy training and tell them, hey, I'm ready to go, boys, I'm feeling it.
Well, you never know, it might work.
Not with all the injuries you're carrying at the moment, Soda.
Yeah, good point. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Beck and Soda's Morning Quickie.
Our producer Rachel is with us. Hi, Rach.
Hello, Beck and Soda. Mm-hmm. I promise this isn't me asking, but I'm a bit curious to know, what do you guys wear to bed?
Yeah, Rach, that's just too personal, doll. No, T-shirt and undies.
T-shirt and undies?
Yeah.
On the pyjama pants.
Good. Well, there's a really gross reason that you shouldn't sleep naked. Dr. Hannah Patel says that the average person lets Fluffy off the chain up to 25 times a day.
What?
Mm-hmm. So every time you let one rip, you spray a little bit of fecal matter.
Oh, don't say fecal.
Come on.
So I don't fart at all. So that doesn't apply to me.
Mate, up to 25 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So not me. I'm very tired.
Yikes. What?
It really clenched down there.
Still gets out, mate. It seeps out in your sleep. even when you don't realise it.
Oh my gosh, maybe I bottle them up so much that at night time it's just like
leaks.
So you're essentially sleeping in your own poop. If you sleep naked.
Yeah, okay.
You would have like a pressure valve build up throughout the week and during the day, and then in the evening it would all be just emitted out of your body. You better not sleep naked. Ever.
Done. It's a deal, I promise you.
Oh, James will be in a gas chamber.
Oh, my God.
Okay, okay, close on.
Let's little
move
Dutch
on.
Oven
little
for
Dutch
him.
Dutch oven.
Okay.
This is a hard segue. But you might remember this story in 2003. Kathleen Folbig went to jail for killing her four children. Mm. She's been pardoned over the deaths due to a breakthrough in DNA evidence.
Mm.
And today she's waking up a free woman. She's seeing what the real world is like after 20 years behind bars.
Mm.
She was filmed smiling and wearing pink fluffy slippers while making a cup of tea with a metal spoon for the first time in 2 decades.
20 years.
They don't use spoons in jail.
No.
Well, they use wooden ones.
They must.
Plastic.
Plastic or wooden. Mm. So you can't carve them into
a weapon.
You
can't fashion it into
a
shiv.
Yeah. This is a funny one because the father of the children is still convinced that she did it, but she has served 20 years for something that she probably didn't commit, which is a terrible injustice, if that's the case.
It's a fascinating situation, isn't it? Imagine being locked away for 20 years.
Yeah.
If you knew losing that you 2 decades of your life. You know, well, put it this way, when she went in, Mike Rann would have been Premier.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Go Panthers.
Yeah, go Panthers. Reggie Bird won Big Brother 20 years ago.
Reggie.
Guy Sebastian won Australian Idol.
Wow.
Shane Warne was banned at the time for taking
the diet pills.
Apparently
that
his mum had gave him. What else was happening?
What were you using in a phone? Was there a mobile phone?
It's a Nokia 1110.
Oh, those bricks. I had one of those.
One of those. Finding Nemo was out in the cinemas.
Wow.
So Kathleen's got a fair bit to catch up on.
Yeah.
Well, look, I hope she didn't. I hope she didn't do it.
Well, the justice system has now said that she didn't. And she was due to be released anyway in 5 years. Mm. So she's really only had 5 years shaved off her sentence. She's receiving $400,000 to tell her story.
It's got a lot of Lindy Chamberlain about it too, same sort of feel, hasn't it?
Yeah, a lot. Anyway, welcome back to the real world, Kathleen.
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Beck, I was mentioning to you about how I get the emergency plumber out on the weekend because the toilets were blocked and it was absolute mayhem in the house. And it started off with little Sienna. She was having a shower and she said, "Dad, the toilet's burping." And it was going bloop, 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 bloop. Anyway, I've come out and had a look and it was bubbling like a witch's cauldron. And then I could hear around the house all these sort of noises. And I went and checked the other toilet and that too was bubbling. And I'm thinking there's something really going on. And then I've realised then all the stuff started coming out. Massive turds just coming out of the toilet, spilling over
enough
the top.
Enough about your bowel movements.
It was absolute filth. Anyway, we got the plumber in. He cleaned the drains. And anyway, I said, "Mate, you had some pretty severe blockage." I said to the kids, "What have you been putting down the toilet?"
Yeah.
They go, "Nothing, Dad, just toilet paper." Then I realised they probably use half a roll each time they have a crack, right?
You mean have a crap.
Well, each time they have a crack at having a crap. So I've implemented a new rule now. So I said, if you have to go to the toilet and sit down, straight in the shower and wash and clean, bidet style.
Oh, what? They can't do that.
Yeah, it's so much easier because this blockage is causing all sorts of grief. And it was a fair steep bill to get a bloke out on a Saturday evening. And we had to hang around for about 4 or 5 hours for him to come and do it.
Oh.
So straight in the shower, wash yourself out that way, so much simpler. That's fair enough, isn't it?
I don't think that's going to stick, mate. They might do that for a week. It's not time efficient. What if you're about to go out and they have to do a number two and then they're like, "Oh, hang on, Dad, I've got a shower."
Quick wash, clean yourself, out you go.
What about you keep a flannel by the side?
Oh, no. No, we don't need to do that.
The poo flannel.
I don't know what else was down the toilet that was flushing things, that was stopping things from getting blocked.
You don't think they shoved anything down there?
Well, I don't know. They said they didn't. But who would know? There's probably a Barbie doll down there or some sort of action hero who was stuck down there causing all the grief that had to be pulled out by the emergency plumber.
Oh, people do stuff things or accidentally drop things down the toilet. As we've been talking about this, Kayla's actually called in from Salisbury Heights. What's fallen into the toilet?
Hi. My sister-in-law, she had her 30th and we were all out and having a good time and everything and then went to the toilet. And she's, while she's in there, she's absolutely horrified and going off, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what have I done? Oh my God. And then she came out white as a ghost. And I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Like thinking she's, I don't know, put herself down the toilet for some reason. And she goes, that diamond ring that your brother gave me for my 30th this morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've just accidentally flushed down the toilet.
She flushed it. So dropped and flushed.
Oh, no. It dropped and flushed. So, yeah, it was long gone.
Not even a day old.
Not even a day old. Oh, not even 24 hours old. Not even 12 hours old. Just gone. So, the engagement ring that he bought her, I don't think he spent as much on it, just in case for that same reason.
Fair point. Oh, that's a tragedy there, Carly.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's going to be hard to top that. But 13, 10, 60, what went down the toilet? Oh, so he's having some problems with his pipes.
Absolutely. We had the plumber out, the emergency plumber, to clean through things. I don't know what has been flushed down there, but it had clogged everything up and we were getting the regurgitation and we were getting stuff return up that had once gone down the toilet all over the floor. It was disgusting.
Stay down. So we asked on Facebook what was flushed down the toilet. I'll spare a thought for poor Eloise. Her sunnies fell off her head and down into a portaloo at a music festival. And you know how gross those portaloos are. Those sunnies are gone.
You wouldn't bother rescue, would you?
No, wouldn't put your hand down a portaloo.
The snatch rescue would not occur for Ray-Bans.
Yuck.
No chance at all. Sophie from Virginia, what went down the toilet?
Three tennis balls and a bouncy ball.
Flush through.
So they were stuck in the toilet bent. So we had to actually rip the toilet off of the tiles, turned it over. And my son at the time was three. And he said, oh, that's where they went.
Naughty
boy.
What
a little beauty.
Oh, dear. Beck and Elizabeth Downs, what went down the toilet?
A $2,000 wedding band.
Oh, no.
How'd that happen?
My 12-year-old daughter was wearing it. Went to go number twos, and when she'd finished, realised it was no longer on her finger.
Oh, no.
Absolutely freaked out. I couldn't help but laugh. The marriage probably should have been flushed down the toilet way before the ring was. But she was, she felt so bad about it. She gloved up. She tried to, dug around in the toilet, couldn't find it. I was standing behind her the whole time laughing because I just thought, it's a sign.
It's symbolic. Yep. There you go.
She gloved up. Gloved up and put the hand down the toilet. Yuck.
What a great term.
We've got another Rebecca in Hewitt. What went down the toilet?
My mother-in-law's pads. We were up at Manham and she had no idea what to do with them, so she was flushing them down the toilet. Halfway through our trip, the whole entire toilet was blocked. We couldn't flush it. We had water coming up. So all the guys were up on the street. We had SA water up there. Everyone was up there trying to find where this blockage was. We had holes being dug. The whole street had no toilets.
Oh, no. And then how did you work out that's what the culprit was? Did they actually just come up?
They actually held, when they got it, when they found the blockage, they're standing up in the street with these really puffy white things that we're going, okay.
Pads go in the bin.
It was a little bit yucky, but it was hilarious. She was red-faced. She didn't know where to look.
All right. So does not.
Thank you, Rebecca. Oh. Thank you.
It's Highbrow Radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
welcome.
Oh, mate. Hey, but it happens to the best of us.
So we put
it's
it on
real life.
Facebook. Kim has said a whole banana that her toddler obviously didn't want to eat his fruit. So we flushed it down the toilet and told mummy to eat the whole thing, including the skin. When she said, where's the skin? Finds the banana down the toilet.
There's all sorts of stuff down there. Lisa Hannon from SA Water joins us. Okay, Lise, what's been flushed and ended up your way at Bolivar?
We have found some weird and wonderful things at Bolivar. My personal favourite is a rubber chicken. We've also found things like a Batman costume, a traffic cone, dog toys, mobile phones. It goes on and on.
And a Caped Crusaders costume. How does that end up at Bolivar? A superhero costume.
Well, we can only assume that some fascinated little kitty with a fascination for Batman has unfortunately lost his little costume down the toilet.
Lisa, look, I reckon that the toilet gets blocked with too much toilet paper at times and a whole range of other things. How on earth are these other items getting down there? How can they fit?
Well, it never ceases to amaze me either, but somehow they do manage to get through. And even to get through, I mean, the toilet is one thing, but to actually get through our connections and pipes and pumps is another.
Oh, I also understand some false teeth have been lost. That would be devastating. Imagine you, I don't know, do you reckon like you're having a vomit or something?
I think that's exactly what has happened. But can you just imagine? Like, oh, just horrifying.
Is it true, Lisa, that there's a trophy cabinet up at Bolivar?
Yes, there certainly is. So our wonderful operators out at Bolivar who clear the screens, they certainly have a collection which is on display out at the treatment plant.
My God.
There's a serious note though, Lisa, because we don't want these things clogging up our sewage system, do we?
No. It actually costs a lot of money to clear the blockages that can happen. Mm. But not only that, you know, the reality is what goes down can come back up. So you never want your toilet or laundry or kitchen awash with your number ones and twos.
Yeah. Well, that's what I discovered on the weekend when things started to come back up once the toilet was blocked and the drains were blocked and we started to have it all emerge out over the top of the toilet, Lisa.
Mm. And it's actually an awful experience for people to go through that. So, we always recommend if it's not pee, paper or poo, don't flush it down the loo.
Right. I didn't find any false teeth, though.
You're still in your mouth, mate. Thanks, Lisa. You were a really great sport. Appreciate it.
No problems. Back and soda for breakfast. 6 to 9 weekdays. Get SAFM's Beck and Soda anywhere, anytime on the free listener app. SAFM.